Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Nod Hotep to everyone. Welcome to this segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course it is always wonderful to be here with you live and in living color. Well, we are now in the month of June, and certainly we're talking about it being National Black Music Month. So, with that said, family, we want to thank everyone for tuning in to this edition of New Day. And, of course, we're going to begin to focus a little bit on some things that are relevant to Black Music Month. And that is, of course, raising the question as to how do we get some of the real Black music back? Meaning, you know, if you all do listen to some of the radio or some of the things that are on TV based on music, that certainly you have heard a very interesting kind of thing that's been happening over these past years with Eminem going into hip hop and winning a lot of Grammys and recognition with John B. and then some of these other people that, you know, really started climbing up the charts, you know, with the style and the type of music presentation and vocalage type thing that sounded like us. And then we started seeing it with the females, and, you know, they just started getting a whole lot of props. And, well, needless to say, music was one of the few areas that Black folks was able to really excel. And so now it seems that our style, our type of verbiage and all the kinds of things is now other people's too. Now, I find that interesting because there are other genres of music that don't get co-opted. European classical music being one, for the most part, stays pretty consistent with the people who pretty much, you know, develop that genre. The hillbilly music, you know, what I call the country western, and other derivatives of that, well, it tends to pretty much appeal primarily to those people. So, what is it about our music that now has become, I mean, it's always been appealing. It's always been something that they've liked to listen to, dance to, and so forth, socialize with. But now to literally be the type of performance, the performing aspect. And it used to be, you know, here and there kind of with the Elvis and a few of the others. But now you almost can't tell them apart sometimes if they've gotten so good at imitating this sound. Well, I'm raising that because here in Philadelphia this year, this is one of the reasons why, this year we will be commemorating the 50-year anniversary of what's known as Philadelphia International, Philly International for short, and it definitely paved the way for a lot of artists, you know, oh, my goodness, the OJs, Harold Melvin and the Boom Notes, the Delphonics. I mean, there's so many artists that if they weren't on the actual label of Philly International, they certainly came to Philadelphia to record, including people like Michael Jackson, Lou Rawls, Stevie Wonder. Yeah, Philly was a hot place during the 70s, I think, 1971 is when Philly International went into full effect. And it was groundbreaking because, you know, for the most part, other people had, 100% pretty much control over the industry. So when you begin to see the Motowns and the Philly International and Stax and a few others, they were able to get at least a little bigger piece of the pie. Well, that definitely changed a lot of things and certainly advanced the culture, the kind of history and musicality of our people. So the question has to be, what is it that has happened? What has happened that we now are, you know, hearing all this crap, for lack of a better word? A lot of it is mechanical, robotic, in such a way where you're not hearing real fresh or real live sounds, music. The instruments are manufactured, meaning you push the button and the sound comes out. It's not real musicians oftentimes playing the instruments. Again, it's technology has been able to recreate these sounds, but I dare say it hasn't recreated the feeling. Anyway, we're going to open up the chat room. We said we're going to start doing that, and so we are tonight, because I really, really would like for folks to kind of begin to communicate in the chat room, and certainly, you know, post those who are not able to join us by way of telephone and you're using the internet or that's your preference. Well, now you will be able to do so in the various format of the chat room, okay? And so, again, with that said, I'm going to open up the chat room in a few moments for you. And in the meantime, I want to remind you that a little later on, we're going to have with us Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., who is really going to give us a report on his visit to Tulsa, along with some other things, by the way. But certainly, he's going to tell us about what he got a chance to bear witness to while he went to Tulsa this past weekend. And family, I can tell you, he was not very happy, to say the least. So this is going to be a real interesting report. Want to also, at sidebar, want to kind of dedicate this program tonight to one of our brothers here in Philly, Brother Sabor Muhammad. We went to his community, I guess you could call it Memorial Remembrance Day afternoon. It was really, really nice. You know, just again, it gets to be a little difficult when you have people in your circle, in your community that, you know, really, really are about doing the work or really, really want to see Black folks, you know, advance and excel. So when you kind of are able to engage with folks like that, when they're no longer, you know, readily accessible to you, it definitely can leave a void. And our brother, Sabor Muhammad, certainly was one of those brothers here in Philly, and there are not many. Trust me, I can tell you there are not many in this city that have that either willingness, wanting to really do something. Most of these jokers have just, you know, bought into this whole system thing and are just more part of the problem than they are of the solution. So again, our, you know, condolences to the family, much love, and hey, you know, Brother Sabor, we'll see you in the whirlwind. Okay, let's see, what is going? Let's see. All right, the chat room is open, and so if you are on your computer, you can now join New Day in the chat room. Okay, just look on your computer, and you should see something that says chat. And all you got to do is just type it in and you're good to go, okay? All right, moving right along. Let's see, what else do we have going on for tonight? Well, we want to really remind you that this weekend for us has been Mother Cali House Weekend. And our apologies to those who were trying to get into the Zoom room today. We had some issues going on with that, which will definitely be ready for you tomorrow at 3:00. We will be regrouping and proceeding with our weekend, our June Reparatory Justice Weekend. And so you can join us tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and I will be putting the link and call-in information in the chat room very shortly. But in the meantime, please put it on your schedule, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. We will proceed with the Reparatory Justice, our 4J session for June 2021. And it will focus on, of course, the vision, the work, the contributions of the great, and we now call her Saint Callie House. Tomorrow will mark her transition day. And joining us to put a conversation tomorrow is going to be Sister Deidre Farmer Perlman and also Prince Asiel Ben Israel, who has a history with Queen Mother Moore. And also we'll talk about, you know, their own, he's, of course, one of the original, you know, officials from the African Hebrew Israelite group, okay? Not the folks that some of you might see on the street sometime. No, we're talking about like these folks go back 50 years or so with Ben Amin, who, you know, was known to be somewhat of a revolutionary. So, again, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, that's what we'll be doing via Zoom, and I'll be putting that information in the chat room very shortly. In the meantime, I'd like to open up the mic for you all. You know, again, we have some questions that we have posed that we've kind of put out there to ask for tonight. And again, one of those questions, hold on, let me pull that up for you once again in a minute. So the question, or a couple of the questions that we want to kind of put out there to you tonight, when it comes to Black music, again, I kind of mentioned one of them, and one of those questions had to deal with how do we get some of our real Black music back? I mean, what is it going to take to do that? So that's one question I'd like to kind of get a response for. And let's see, the other question has to do with reparatory justice. So, again, since we this weekend have been talking about Mother Callie House, reparations, things of that nature, of course, one of our questions in this past week with the 100-year commemoration of Tulsa, and I'd like to hear what you all think about that, some of what you may have read, some of what you may have heard, the craziness that was going on down there. But the question that I really like to get some feedback from you all is, you know, do you feel that the survivors should, in fact, get reparations? If not for the word reparation, certainly compensation, financial compensation. The other question that we want to kind of look at closer tonight, and we will be doing it tomorrow as well, and it is, what are your views, you know, about reparations / reparatory justice? And with that, how should we proceed in obtaining it? So what are your thoughts about reparations? Because some people don't feel that we should be trying to get it. All right. So I'd like to know what some of your thoughts are. And also with that, for those who do believe we should, how should we proceed in obtaining it? And see, I ask that question because I hear often a lot of different things, both pro and con, and I'm always curious as to what's your plan? Meaning, either way, if you are saying we should get reparations, then okay, so how do you think it's going to happen? What's the plan for that, right? And then, of course, with that, the question gets into, and so what are folks willing to do in support of obtaining it? So how do we go from conversation to actualization? So that's kind of what we want to talk about today. And, of course, we will talk about it tomorrow during our Zoom session for this month, our preparatory session for this month. One other question that is raised, and let's see, what was that? Okay, I asked, should survivors of Tulsa obtain reparations? And, okay, I guess I did cover it, which is, what are your views, suggestions, or proposed plans of action regarding the attainment of economic / financial compensation for our people? All right, so those are some of the questions we wanted to kind of raise for tonight. And let's see. Okay, so we're going to get ready to go to our lines to see if anybody's got any response to any of that. If you do, please press 1 now. And I certainly would love to hear from you. For those of you who have access to the chat room, you can also put some information or some comments or whatever in the chat room as well. But again, the question is, there's like 4 questions. So again, you know, black music, what the heck are we going to do about that? What should we do about that? Because people have complained, people have noticed how downhill is gone, particularly with so-called rap. I mean, that's just insane all across the board. But even, you know, again, even in the areas of so-called R&B and, you know, soul music or whatever, that's like, a lot of people can't even sing. You know, I mean, you listen to them very carefully. They can't really even sing. If their voices wasn't doctored up, they wouldn't be listenable. I mean, really. So what can we begin to do? Because we better begin to do something, because if not, this is only going to get worse. Okay, so let's kick this off. I see some folks got some stuff to say, and that's what I want to hear tonight. Okay, caller at 2034. 2034, your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Peace and blessings. This is Sister Rahima Rahim in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've had trouble trying to get in on the Zoom, so I'm on the talk, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm on the line.
Oh, thank you, Sister. Well, I'm going to come back to you shortly because, you know, one of the questions we're asking tonight is, should the survivors obtain or get reparations? So, Sister, you stay right there. I'm going to come back to you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, caller at 9498, your mic is open, and welcome to this segment of New Day. Oops, hold on, I think your mic is open. Hey, Brother Ray Ray, how's my brother?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Family.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, family, about last week. Some kind of way I fell asleep, boy, but I heard what happened.
Oh, wasn't there something? Well, you know, Brother Ray Ray, always go and check it out because every time we do a program, it goes into the archives.
I think one time before something like that happened, I'm glad Mike was on the line to set things straight from these throwaways from Europe. With they bull crap, all of they always coming down. I don't think the dirty mutinoid is going to give his former slaves anything. Biden, they didn't have to have a Jew, as Darren Muhammad said on his show today. They didn't have to have a Jew and none of them say anything, and they had that survivor talk all that stuff. They gave Black Lives Matter all that money where they crooking it. So it's another disgrace. And they can't even take care of their own. They people are strung out on drugs. Their people are all out in the street begging. It's over. Elijah Muhammad said the fall of America. I think the reparations game is a con game and just keep us maybe voting. I don't think this vicious stink, you know what, is going to give us anything. They will keep lying. They will keep, as Professor Mackey say, anytime they scratch their rear end, you know they lying. They can't take care of their own. The system can't take care of their own. They give the Albanians money. They, you know, they say all that. But when it comes to us, you know, Tulsa's not the only atrocity.
Right.
You just showed us Philadelphia. They dropped bombs on Philadelphia, Wilmington.
Yeah.
The viciousness. Do you really think this it's up for them? Pat Buchanan's book. It's up. Their time is up, and you really think they're gonna give black folks something? They've given us a hard way to go, just like before. And they keep coming up with these bills. If we're ready to start dying, if we're ready to start dying in the street like Tulsa and only things, start doing what we got to do, then we might get something.
Okay.
But as far as them giving us anything, we ain't going to get it.
Okay. All right. So your thought is, just for point of clarity, you're not just saying black folks in general. You're saying specifically you don't believe that the government is going to give.
I don't think the
survivors.
People in Tulsa, 100 years, they ain't gave Tulsa nothing.
Right. Okay.
They brought it up. That's not the only atrocity. That's not the only, the devastating. And it's said, according to the documentary, the white man was jealous of the economic prosperity of black folks. And the white man has always been jealous of the economic prosperity of black folks. And any chance we have got to bring up some economic instability, they have destroyed it. And case in point, go buy you a brand new Cadillac. Some police or somebody going to say, hell, how you get the money to get that car? Could have worked and saved your pennies and this and that. How you get that house? And if you live next door to any white folks, they're going to look at you every time you come from Home Depot. Really, it's up for them. They can't even take care of their own. So it could keep coming up, but according to one of our study groups, the white man ain't giving up nothing.
All right.
And
well,
the rip-off, Dr. Mackey's tape on the rip-off of black music. Professor William Mackey Jr. did a lecture on the rip-off of black music. And those Jews, I have the hard copy here, those Jews that's been controlling the music industry along with sellout blacks. Been stealing that music. And what's the guy from Philadelphia that wrote that book? The Cultural Bandits, where they steal in the dance. They just robbing our dance. They robbing our dress. They just robbing everything and making billions.
Del Jones, Brother Del Jones.
Exactly. Making billions, robbing every commercial you see. They just robbing our dance and robbing our culture.
Yes. So
you even got an Asian group up there. Asian group up there doing some rap dancing and all that, getting millions.
So the question is, what can we do about it?
Well, if we ready to die, because we keep asking for something, and they keep giving us snow jobs. So.
Okay.
If we keep
all
asking,
right.
They keep giving us nothing, and they keep coming up with these bills. Kanye's bill stayed up there collecting dust, and then they brought it down and got us to vote Democrat.
Okay.
That bill collected dust for years. I don't think they're giving us nothing. I don't care how much the question keeps coming up. We're going to get snow jobs.
I have one other question for you before you go, and it is and I didn't mention this earlier, but I meant to, and it is, and I'd like for folks to respond to it. Recently, of course, President Biden agreed that what happened in Armenia was genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, I'm just curious, what are your thoughts about that?
Mm-hmm. He ain't had no problem opening up his mouth about that. He hurried up.
Yep.
But gonna bring one survivor and go down to Tulsa and not with a quarter in his hand.
Yep.
Not a quarter
All
in his
right.
hand. But hurried up. We talk about them.
All right, my brother. Well, thank you for your comment, your thoughts,
vicious,
sharing.
Family, I don't care what nobody say, as vicious as these people is, and we still think we want to be a part of them, and they ain't never respecting us. And if they don't respect you, they ain't going to give you a quarter. And you know they come in as marauders. The only thing they like is fighting. So if they don't respect you, what makes you think they're going to give you a quarter?
All right, Brother Ray Ray. Thank you much. When's the next lecture coming up?
They're doing some plumbing in there. I'm hoping that I get an answer. I hope I'll get something tomorrow. And Dr. Lewis, Dr. Arthur Lewis, is going to do another one on health and COVID-19. And I just wish y'all could have saw the one that YouTube and Facebook took off. And that's what it's going to. Whatever they don't like, they taking off. And this thing is getting real serious, because anytime they offering millions of dollars and toys and hamburgers and coffees and sneakers and basketball games, and why are they so in a rush to, you know, stuff in our arm? They got wagons all over. They got wagons all over Brooklyn playing music, disc jockey, and everybody catching heart attacks. My friend of mine in Detroit, friend took the first shot, took the second shot, a couple of hours later dropped dead.
Wow.
They're giving away cars. They're giving away cars. They all in the black community. Pizzas, basketball games. What is this about? Are they that desperate to get this stuff in our arm?
Hey, obviously. And it's working.
It is working. Just like Darren Muhammad said, they told these barbershops, you better not open up. Now they're going into the barbershop. They told these churches, if I catch you praying to the Lord, I'm going to lock you up. Mm. Now they want to open up the churches.
Wow.
And you think we're getting reparations. All right. They'll give you a shot in the arm.
All right, my brother. Again, thank you for your comments.
Why don't they offer some reparations money and see how many people line up? They offered $1 million. They offered $1 million in the scholarship, and they gave the money to an old little stinky white person. On the news.
Wow.
Talking about y'all should go get the shot, and she got a scholarship. Gave all the money to a little skinny white person. Gave them all that money. They won the lottery.
All right. Well, we're going to go to the next caller. Brother Ray Ray, thank you for your comments.
I'm sorry. I am sorry for last week. Some kind of way, family, I'm sorry. I did not like what I had heard, and I'm glad Mike came to the rescue once again. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful. All right, my brother. All right, family, let's go to caller at 3208, and then we're going to go back to our sister Rahima in Tulsa. But 3208, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment, New Day.
Good evening. How are you doing, Sister Melvin?
Greetings. How are you this evening?
I feel great. I just finished a project I'm working on.
Right. So we have three questions that we've been asking. And so what are your thoughts about Tulsa, the survivors? Do you think they should get reparations or some form of compensation? And then since you're dealing with music, Brother Chris, what are your thoughts about what's going on with the music? I mean, it's crazy. A lot of stuff, you got to turn it off. You don't even want to hear a lot of what's being played, that's going on today. So on those two issues, what are your thoughts?
Well, on the first question, I think it's a start. But I agree with the previous caller. You know what I'm saying? I don't trust the government anyway to give us anything. But mm-hmm. I do think it's a start. I do know the backstory. You know, they was trying to, you know, go ahead and commemorate. But parts of Tulsa was like, y'all, they're a bunch of bullshit people. You know what I'm saying? You know, the front was going on. I don't know, it was just like basically not really trying to deal with the real issue at hand. But I think it's a start. Mm-hmm. It's out there. People know about it. Those who are woke understand and study our culture. We've been new about it, thanks to the internet,
right.
YouTube, you know. But
right.
It's a start. But I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. We have a long ways to go. I think at this point we should go back to supporting our own. That's been the theme. You know, particularly since the pandemic has hit last year and shit. You know, I think mm-hmm. I think we should all focus on our own, pushing to support each other's businesses, black businesses. You know what I'm saying? That's a start. You know what I mean? There's pros and cons to this madness, to this criminal enterprise called America.
All right. Okay.
To answer your second question, I personally don't listen to a lot of newer stuff, you know what I'm saying, that doesn't touch my heart, unless you
mm-hmm.
have something to say, unless the music is sitting right and the lyrics mm-hmm. are sitting right. You know, again, I think we should support underground music like myself and support people who take the time to create the type of music that hits them, that touches the heart and soul and mind of people. You know, we should take our power back and support artists and young musicians who have their own type of style and also their own business. Like me, I have my own business, Car Arts Entertainment, and, you know, it's a grassroots situation. I work part-time, and I do my business part-time as well. So I think we all should see ourselves and understand who we are to each other first, and secondly, who we are to ourselves, and really, really push the agenda to support black businesses, not just in music, but all black businesses, but particularly in the music situation. Support black people who have their own businesses within the music industry, within the film industry. You're saying, and that is how we can take control of how we push our music, and also how we can control the narrative of what we say and how we feel.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you for that. And later on, we're going to go to the second part of the question, which is, what's the plan? Because what mm-hmm. we've realized over these years is that many of us are saying these things about what we should do. But what I oftentimes, and now I'm going to really start kind of pushing that point, how are we going to do this? Because I've heard for decades now, this is what we need to do. We need to support black businesses. We need to do this. But then when I say, so, okay, what's your plan? Or what are you supporting that has a plan of action?
Well, we need
to do that.
Our people need healing first. Our people need healing first. You know what I'm saying? Because, wait a minute, stop right there
for 1 minute. So you're saying we can't do other things while we're healing?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
But a lot of us, we're still in a mindset of not supporting each other. So we got, not saying you and I or whoever else
right,
is vocal.
I'm just saying,
but majority of us still got to get out of this mindset, this European central mindset, and go back to the
okay,
African.
Okay, so stop right there for 1 minute. So if what you just said has been said for like 100 years now, right? What is it that we're going to do to change that scenario? Because you're absolutely correct. I mean, I totally agree. You're absolutely correct. The mindset, the European programming, all of that, got absolutely. We have to heal. We have to change it. But, again, the question is, or at some point we're going to have this conversation to a greater extent, and it is, so what are we going to do? How are we going to do that? Because other than that, it'll continue to just be a conversation. And we can't afford it because these people, as you said, my brother, with the corona thing, and as Brother Ray Ray just said, they have a plan. Mm. And they're putting it in place for real. So
yeah. They
looked at the situation and came up with a plan and then put their plan in motion. And that plan is about a process of elimination. See, so my point is we have to make the assessment. But after we make the assessment about, well, here's the problem, we then got to say, so this is what I think we can do, and this is how I think we can do it. Because if we don't start doing that, then we're going to stay at square one. And that ain't even square one.
I agree.
That's minus one, you know. But, brother, thank you for your comment. I appreciate your comment. I want to go to one more caller before we bring in Sister Rahim, and I'm going to come back to you shortly, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, we got one more caller before we go to Sister Rahima. And caller, you are at 1559. 1559, your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Good evening, Dr. Flamay. Hope all is going well with you and listening audience.
K Fighter in the house. My sister.
I am physically and emotionally drained today. Mm-hmm. It's been very, very hectic past few days. And literally, I've had 5 hours of sleep since Thursday. So I'm just extremely drained right now. But I did want to call in, you know, to get in on this topic before I try to lay my head down on this pillow. But first of all, we all know, and I hope we all know, if you don't know and you don't get what I'm about to say, then you're on the wrong side of the fence. And that lets me know that when it does kick off, it is you that we have to come for first. But reparations must be defined, number one. It is different for many people. For me, reparations must be paid in blood and in money, because it is those two mechanisms that put our people in enslavement in the first place. When you listen to the testimony of the Elder Fletcher to the Senate hearing, give her testimony of after all that happened with her in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that today she can still remember every single detail. Now that's
right.
Damn near 100 years that this woman had to endure that. And as my brother Ray Ray said, and I wholeheartedly agree, people are not ready to bleed. And we like to fool around with this topic as if we can vote our way into it or communalize our way into it, become some sort of social microphone for it, in hopes that it will reach ears. Well, it hasn't reached ears in 400 years. The white man has never intended to make you his equal. He doesn't believe in fairness, and all of his allies are complicit. That is the Asian, that is the Arab, that is the European. Everyone is against us. And one of the things I want our people to truly understand and just take an account of this, because this blood debt is going to be paid, and it's going to be physical. Conditions will make it so. However, you have to understand the crews that are around you, the organizations which you belong. Today, and I digress for a minute, my SWAP sisters and I took part in an EWA celebration, or EWA ceremony, I should say, to get each other's character in check. Your character precedes you in life. You can mention the name Mike Tyson, and everybody knows that he was one of the greatest fighters on the planet. So that reputation precedes him, whether you know his name or not, or have ever seen his face or not. That reputation precedes him. The reputation of Black people today is a reputation of weakness, because not only have we allowed the European to take advantage, to murder, to pillage, to strip us of everything, now we have allowed we allow the Arab to do it. Still today, we allow the Asians to do it, and any and everybody else. We're following Latinos, or whatever the hell they want to call themselves this week. You're running behind LGBTQs in hopes of getting some sort of scraps that are thrown to you. When the Asian American hate crime bill was passed in a matter of 6 months, the brother just called in and said that we have to support Black business. You know how the Asian American got their bill passed in 6 months? It is because Asian business owners and Asian lawyers, their money where their mouths are. They protected their consumer base, which is the Asian public. They put out a front page ad in the Wall Street Journal what their demands were. They then put their money in both sides of the aisle heavily. The Asian American put their money in groups like the Proud Boys. And other groups, while we out here with picket signs, 400 years of freaking marching, are you nuts? Of begging, of voting? And if you watch Thorough Black Talk last week, you know, I clearly explained the history of this behavior. I clearly explained the White Declaration of Independence. Now, I know your viewer or listening audience know about the U.S. Declaration of Independence 1776. We always taught about that in school. But nobody was taught about the White Declaration of Independence. You all can go look it up if you want to. 1898.
And by the way, Sister Keys, let me just give a sidebar. You can also check out this past week's Thorough Black Talk, because Sister Keisha brought it. I mean, it was excellent presentation, Sister Keisha. But my point is, family, you can literally, you know, review it, because if you go to YouTube, look up Thorough Black Talk, you'll be able to literally see the visual of what she's talking about. But go ahead, Sister Keisha.
Yes, and thank you for that. You have to understand the philosophy of everybody who's on top of us, whether it's Jewish folks or Arabs or whoever. They understand the power of business and protecting that consumer base. And they do everything in their power to make sure it comes to fruition. You can't just support Black business and Black business don't support you. You got Black business owners with rainbow flags outside, talking about Black Lives Matter and all kind of nonsense, just jumping from one house to the next. And we out here looking reckless and crazy. It is an embarrassment to the world that we still want to try to vote our way into this, or try to socially activate our way into this. No, baby, this is a blood debt that has to be paid. And we're going to keep suffering because our ancestors are going to make sure we suffer like hell until we redeem them in ourselves. Generations unborn are going to continue to suffer because we refuse to bleed. Malcolm made it plain. I don't understand how the hell nobody gets this. And like I said on last week's program, y'all better be careful in these gentrified neighborhoods, communities, or whatever the hell they want to call them. Because now you're surrounded by Yoruba. And that's what happened in Tulsa. And that's what happened in Rosewood. And that's what happened in Wilmington, North Carolina. And that's what happened in Columbia, Tennessee. And that's what happened to Move. Even without money, Move was attacked. Why? Because they were an organized force. That is a threat to black, to any other establishment, European, Arab, Asian, or whatever. That is threatening. But we want to wiggle people in. That's ridiculous. And I feel that as far as music is concerned, yeah, some of it I do listen to because I do deal with a lot of young people. I have a lot of young people that I work with, and you have to be on their level. And so, yeah, my brain hurts, but I have to do it. Everybody who was black, who was complicit into bringing these white boys into our music, yeah, a blood debt must be paid on you and your families as well because you are Judas. You don't let Judas slide at all. All of these black music moguls brought in white folks who came and took it over. Just a couple of years ago, Rolling Stone, front page cover, Eminem, the greatest rapper of all time. Dr. Dre should be shoved off a roof for that. But we're not ready for that kind of talk. People are afraid of that, Dr. Soleil. And until you understand your fear, black man and woman, we're going to continue to suffer. And whatever happens to our children and those yet unborn, God damn it is your fault. How can our babies look at us with pride, respect us, when we leave them in this? They have a right to be as angry and frustrated as they are right now. Why do you think they're out here out of pocket? It's no way out. It's no way out. I showed a video 2 weeks ago on the show where a bunch of four black kids in their neighborhood, some white kids come in and they get into an argument. It was the black police officer that put them in cuffs, a black police officer and two Asians. Put them in handcuffs, sat them on the ground. They didn't do anything with those white children. They let them go ahead. And you should have seen the fear on those children's faces. We are an embarrassment to the world. So y'all better be ready to knuckle up. G up for real. For real. You cannot. And if you watched the show last week, I showed how at one time we did have the power in the vote. So much so that they were building communities rapidly. And we thought we were fine with that. Well, those white boys came in and showed another page to the game. Look in your community. Some of you who may live in well-off areas and you around these Yorubas, look how they look at you with disdain.
That's right.
I'm telling you, like Elder Fletcher said, they were jealous of everything that they had. When they went in to Tulsa, they took the toilet paper out of these people's houses. They took the chewing gum. They looted everything. And then they set it ablaze and left that area balanced for them to take over. Just like music. We created genius, and we allowed them to come in and take it over? That's a sucker move to me. That is a sucker move. And right now, we got to get our character in check. We got to stop all of this nonsense. The plan is get out there and do the work. And get out there and organize, even on your block. Everybody should be on block watch. When them Yorubus roll up on your block, when them Asians roll up on your block, what the hell are you doing over here? Get them out of there quick. These young G's out here want to be shooters? Get those shooters to where the shots should be fired. But you don't want to have that conversation because a lot of our folks are afraid. You're afraid to die. You're afraid to go to prison. You're afraid to go to jail. You're afraid to starve. You're afraid to be homeless. Too much fear. Too much fear. They got too much power and control. Enslavement is live and direct right now. It's in full effect. It ain't never stop. It just change. Manifestation. That's it. So get your EY together. Get your characters together. Playing with your family, those closest to you. Everybody should know how to use some sort of weaponry. Self-defense should be the goal of the day. Just like when you get up to brush your teeth, how am I going to work on some sort of self-defense today? How am I going to keep myself fit for when it goes down? When I got to pull them triggers when need be. Learn the area that's around you. Now, I don't have no Yorubus that live on my streets, of thank goodness, or five blocks over. I ain't got to see them. But they are in other areas. And I purposefully go through those areas. You got to know how to get in and get out in case police lock it down. How could you get in and get out? All of these tactics must be on the table. Now, how we do that and how we plan and how we organize on the street, yeah, those are private conversations. But this is the real. This must be done. This must be done. And that's just my point. That's my two cents. I'm going to get off my soapbox and try to get some sleep.
All right, man.
Because I am drained. And I'll talk to you later about what took place with SWAP today. They are very eager to meet you and Sister Pam in August. They talked about it today, as a matter of fact. They talked about it today.
All right.
There were women who were shedding tears like never before. And,
wow.
Be ready to do some things. So
that's
I'm gonna
right.
get off my soapbox. But the planning sessions must
all
be
right. All right. Well, it's on. Listen, enough said. Let's get it done. Bottom line. All right, my sister. Give thanks. Family, Sister Keisha, of course, again, you can check out Thorough Black Talk every Thursday live. But then if you can't catch it live, you can all catch it anytime at your convenience. Just go to YouTube and check it out. I'm telling you, last week's was so powerful, man. I was like writing stuff down. I couldn't keep up with it because I remember hearing about that Constitution, but it was like so many years ago. And then when you brought it back, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that now. So that was a real teachable moment, to say the least. So thank you, Sister Keisha. All right, family, let's move on. And we're going to go back to talk with Sister Rahima. And then we're going to bring in Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. So let's get with Sister Rahima. And again, she is based in Tulsa. And hey, Sister, how's my sister tonight, Sister Rahima?
I'm doing well, enjoying the conversation. So glad to hear people who are conscious of what's going on. That's a blessing to know that there are people who are conscious of what's going on.
Absolutely. And that's why I was saying to you, Sister, earlier, that some, you know, it may just be a handful of us in comparison, but the ones that are really about it, that's all we need to make things move forward. And again, you know, to hear what some of the plans of action are. I mean, the things that we can talk about, you know, like here in Philly, Sister Keisha, they're going to be coming to Philly soon. But now that some of the restrictions have been lifted, although we're going to still, you know, practice safety stuff as best as possible. But now we're ready to do some things. And so here in Philly, we're getting ready to do emergency response and preparedness sessions. Basic stuff,
right.
You know, and that was
right.
One of the questions that we had for tonight, and that is, are we ready to declare reserving our right or rights? And in that, how prepared are we for the next disaster or the next crisis? be it health or something else. How prepared are our communities to deal with the next whatever that's getting ready to come? And we have to ask ourselves these questions, and not just ask ourselves these questions, but know the answers, and then, you know, have a plan. And then ask a lot of these people who are in our community, supposedly about, you know, organizing and activism and all of that, ask them what they're doing to deal with some realities, and particularly
right.
public safety. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'd like to start off by saying that the biggest issue with us is, well, I see three. First, trust. We just cannot do anything if we don't learn to trust one another. The second one is leadership. We're helter-skelter because we need to trust a leadership. It could be a person, it could be a committee, but there has to be leadership or people are going to be running in all kinds of directions. The third one is when at Morgan State and Howard University, I think it was like 1867 or 77, somewhere around that time when the Congress voted to allow these colleges to happen, there were three things they asked them but told them that they could not teach. That's the science of mating, the science of business, and the science of warfare.
Mm.
Now, we are in all three of those now. We have people who
right.
are into that. So we're
right.
we're getting there. Now,
right.
the other thing is that there's a saying that prayer moves heaven, but money moves the earth. And I
right.
found that
right.
out the hard way because I,
right.
you know, we had plans. We had plans in Black Wall Street USA, and then also a local organization that I have, which is called Wall Street to Tulsa North. We had plans, but we didn't have any money.
Right.
So it was a great learning experience to see the things that were happening. I was not surprised at anything, but I was able to see how the enemy took our pilgrimage, which we called the pilgrimage, and turned it into a celebration. They were celebrating. You know,
right.
when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King died, when his wife died, if they were really wanting to honor those people, they would have passed legislation that they were requesting year in and year out. So I agree with everything all the callers said tonight. There is a lot that we just do not understand, even though we're expecting these people to do this and to do that.
Right.
When, you know, I just want to say, there was a time I had a daycare center and the roof was leaking. And I was a member of the League of Women Voters. And so I had these, I couldn't seem to get the roof fixed. So, you know, in this old elementary school that I actually went to. And so I called in the League of Women Voters to look at this roof. And so when we were walking down the hall, the person who was the president of the league, she called me by my name and she said, you know, she says, we know that this roof needs to be fixed, but our husbands told us not to touch this with a 10-foot pole because this is a political issue. And when she told me that, then I recognized, okay, these white folks ain't going to do anything for us. I'm going with Henri Elijah Muhammad, and that's the way I went. And there were things happening in the Nation of Islam I did not even understand. I said, I don't understand this, but there must be a reason. There must be a reason why he didn't do this and why he did that, and I'll stay until I find out what. And it actually happened. I found out later why he did certain things and why he didn't do certain things, because I didn't have anybody else to trust.
Right.
I'm saying, so this year, again, We had a plan, and our plan would have been very effective if we'd had some money, but we didn't have any money. So I was able to see things happen. Brothers and sisters came to town saying, there's no hotel, there's no way for us to stay. People didn't come because there was no – I knew where the places were, right in North Tulsa, hotels where they could have stayed. But we didn't have the money to advertise them and let them know a lot of other things. So what I saw was a celebration by the other folk and a pilgrimage that we were supposed to be putting on that turned into a celebration for other folks. So it was a great learning lesson, a learning experience. And now that we know, what is it, know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk away, and know when to fight, now that we know that, then if we can get the people to trust us and put their money where their mouth is, we can make some things happen.
Okay.
So I want to stop right there.
All right. Well, thank you. That's a lot, and you're absolutely correct. And this is what, again, I have to say and always ask this question, and it is, and so how are we going to do that? Because you're right, and this is what, as you said, the Honorable Marcus Garvey told us this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us this, Brother Malcolm X told us this, and a whole bunch of other people. But unless there is some modes of operations that literally says this is what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, and how, then other than that, it will continue to be a conversation. Now you're right. Now, let me just backtrack for one moment about the leadership piece. See, unless we are selecting these leaders, they can't be trusted.
Right.
Most of the leaders in our communities, they're not selected by us.
Right.
So my response to that is this, and again, because I'm solution-oriented. When I see a problem, I'm just going to take the time to try to figure out what can I do to address that, even if it's just a minute. So here's a perfect example, and big ups to my son, right? I know we know there's a not just a void in terms of leadership. It is so dysfunctional, and it is almost useless in most Black communities. So what I do and others do is this. I grab my child, right, and I take that child with me to rallies, to demonstrations, to shows, to performances, and so forth, right, when they're young. Then when they get older, I then take them to other stuff. Now here's my point. My son today, with me, went out in the community, and we handed out the papers called the Jamal Journal. And inside of those papers, we had the We Charge Genocide information. So here's my point. I know in another 5 years or so, my son will be ready to take a leadership position in our community. And
that's
not because
right.
I said so, but because when he walks in these circles that I make sure he gets in, our people see him. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying we know there's an issue and a problem, but I'm saying particularly to Black women, what kind of legacies are we talking about leaving?
Think about it.
See, and this is why we got to start holding each other accountable a little to a better extent. Because there's some basic thing that can help to instill a certain kind of mindset and character in our children to prepare them for these leadership positions.
That's right.
See, so that's why I'm saying we got to come up with some solutions. And it's interesting because we went to a memorial service, but it was community-based. It was outside. People were sharing their stories about this brother who just made transition, and he was a gangbanger and all of that years and years ago back. So people from the hood was talking about him as a teen and how, and how he transformed to becoming, Muslim and blah, blah, blah. So it was a real, gathering and the people. And so we felt comfortable with sharing the Jamal Journal, which really is, talks about Mumia Abu-Jamal, right? And we disseminated information amongst the people. These are the kind of things. This wasn't like no major big event or anything like that. This was folks from the hood, from all parts of Philly who knew this brother, who did a lot of stuff in the community. So my point is we have to come up with, what are we going to do
you know, to really make a difference, to change the kind of situation that we're in. And that thing in leadership, until we develop our own leaders and the mechanism to hold people accountable, then we're going to get what we got, which you know is just crazy. But yes, sister, I mean, you're on point. It's no question. And I love that part that you said about the sciences, because that's like absolutely on point. But listen, before we bring in Chairman Fred, and he's going to give a report from, you know, from him being there. Hold on 1 minute. He just texted me. Okay, hold on. Okay, he's going to text me a number to call him. Okay. So, yeah, he was there this week, and he was not happy at all. And I got a chance to see some of the, what was it, the reception that they had. I got a chance. I couldn't look at it. I really couldn't. I listened to as much of it as I could, but I couldn't stomach it. That was like,
well, see,
are you serious? Go ahead, sister.
But it gets back to what you said about the young people, you know, and that's the thing that gives me hope. Well, it's two things that gives me hope. One is that a lot of people, when the massacre hit, a lot of people left, but a lot of people stayed and secured the land. But the people who left, when that housing shortage hit around about 27 or 8, something way around there, a lot of those people went to California, and when that housing shortage hit, they left California and came back here. So they're coming back with experiences. And then a lot of people didn't go west. They went east, like North Carolina, well, like where a lot of them came from. And they went back and built up towns in Florida and North Carolina and other places. I mean, it's those doctors who went to those colleges. Where else were they going to practice but in their own community? And so,
right.
You know, all these different communities, all these doctors, you know, they started building these, helping to build these communities with the skills that they had. So we need to still need those people who are going to stay and hold it down. So I'm excited, because when I didn't have any money, our organization didn't have any money, I was able to slow down and look at the people in North Tulsa where the people live. And I discovered that you have these people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who are doing things every year anyway. And some of those things wound up downtown, you know. But they wanted to stay in North Tulsa. They weren't excited about anybody coming. They wanted to do what they do for their people, to keep their children safe. And that was the plan that we had. And it would have been absolutely beautiful if we'd had some money. But we didn't have the money to pay a secretary. We didn't have the money to put the media out there like we wanted to. We just didn't have any money. So we had to just do the best we could and, you know, just watch what everybody else was doing. But the watching was a great learning experience, and I'm looking forward to next year. God willing.
I know, that's right. Well, as I said, my sister, you know, a few of us, we are looking forward to you know, doing some things. You know, it wasn't just about this year. It's about what can we do for the future. And so that's why we are going to stay in touch with you. You are now a part of our family, and we are going to stay in close contact with you so that we can look to see how we can grow and develop you know, our extended family relationship in the context of a village. And so, you know, that's what our focus is. And one other thing I want to mention, my approach to dealing with addressing some of these things is a little different from most, and I'm glad of that now as I begin to evaluate. And I just want to say this, while I encourage our youth or our young folks to get involved and I, you know, make sure that it happens, I'm not like most people, though, who will oftentimes say, well, you know, the youth, the young folks, for me, this is war.
And what I've learned over the years, because I was one of them young folks years ago, and people used to say, oh, yeah, we're going to bring in the young folks. And nothing changed. Nothing, really. So what I've learned is it's all encompassing. It's all encompassing. When you're dealing with a war, all hands on deck.
That's right.
And so I've learned what I call this thing that I've had people to kind of do over the years, Sister Rahima, about, yeah, you know, the youth, and you're right, because, of course, that's only a natural order. So, of course, you know, like I hear sisters say, we got to do it for the children. No. You don't have to do it for the children. You really don't. We have to do it for our people.
Yeah, that's right, too.
But see, I'm saying we have these mindsets that we got to really examine a little closer. And I get the point. I get what they're saying. But I noticed for black women, they will use that and discard everything else.
Hmm.
And you can't do that. You can't do that. But that's what's been happening in recent years, more so than before. It was before, yeah, it's for the children and about the children, but we're going to rumble this thing out over here, too.
That's right.
See, that's what it used to be. Now it's all this other hocus pocus and metaphysics and all this other stuff. And that, I mean, that has its place. But
yeah, it's distracting,
you know. Yeah, we're talking about 360 degrees minimally. So if you're just dealing with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees, then guess what? You kind of missed it, okay?
Right.
All right, my sister, listen, you stay right there. I'm going to bring in Jimmy Fred Hampton. Hold on one moment. Give me a minute. Let me bring our brother in to join the conversation. When he gives his report on this situation, oh, my gosh, from what he observed, just as a, you know, as a person who travels a lot, be in a lot of different circles, but definitely keeps his eyes on not just surprise, but the whole kind of thing. So hold on one minute. There we go.
Okay. And while you're doing that, I just want to say, and that's another thing that happened. There were people who didn't, you know, there were brothers who came to town, nowhere to stay, but they couldn't connect with me because of the limited tech skills that we had. I mean, there were places they could stay right, the hotels right in North Tulsa, but they didn't know because the connection was downtown. Everything was moved downtown.
Wow. Something's not happening here. Let me try again. I'm trying to get through, and it's not.
Yes. Hello.
Oh, okay. Chairman. All right, we got you. I didn't even hear it ring, but we got you. How's my brother this evening?
I'm all right. I got you on two lines. Hold on. Call both of them,
and
you disconnect the one.
Okay. Yeah, because it didn't ring, so I dialed it again.
Okay.
So wait a minute. I'm going to disconnect one. Okay.
All right.
Okay. We still got you?
Yep.
Great. All right. How's my brother tonight?
Well, Ms. M, just, you know, we doing our program, our weekly Triple C program, Tours of Community Cubs, out here in front of the Hampton House. It's my turn to go out here and hit the barbecue grill one more time. So we're going to do, yes, indeed.
All right.
Indeed.
I know that's right.
Yes,
wonderful.
Am I muted?
Huh?
Wonderful. Am I muted?
All right. Oh, no, I'll do that. Now, did you want to say something, Sister Rahima?
No, ma'am, I just wanted to be muted because I want to be able
okay,
to hear
Okay, I will do that right now. Okay, I'm
Thank
muting
you
now.
So
All right, there you go. Okay. All right, Chairman. So when did you get black? When did you get back from Tulsa?
No, I actually didn't. I wasn't there physically. I didn't go. I'm going down with a contingent of brothers and sisters who were previously locked up. I think June, July 8th, or maybe June 8th, we headed down there. But we had some brothers who got out. We used to get out there. I forget the name of the organization. We take the contingent down there in July. I don't quote me, I got my dates. I may have my dates mixed up. It's either June 8th or July 8th. I was not there. Yeah.
I'm glad to know that because we're planning to go also. So I'm going to keep that in mind. Give me abreast of, you know, of when you're going to be going. So we were talking about what was going on down there. Now, you've apparently gotten reports. I know I've gotten reports. So share some of what your reports were.
No, I mean, actually, when I got back from there, they're surprising because one report was that I was down there, actually, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and,
that's why I asked you that.
Yeah, a few people had I had one brother debating with me, you know, that was there.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So I wasn't there. You know, we still getting the feedback. We did a show on our last week. Wednesday, we did a show about it. Some of the other issues I was telling you about what I was dealing with, you know, I don't know if this is in the same arena or not, but I last talked to you, I was kind of heated dealing with some contradictions
about
it was this YouTube post that it wasn't a post, it was actually an interview, scratch that. It was an interview that we had deal. This wasn't just a YouTube post. This was actually interview in which they had, I think it's Vox, V-O-X, some production,
okay,
had sat down with myself and members of Black Panther Party Club for hours. And then they had interviewed, pretty much everything good? Yeah. Primo. They did an interview with Bach, and it came out. It had, you know, did the editing job, had my mother there, but it was this unauthorized, this individual who had I'm hesitant to even say his name because I don't want to give him any fame, but, and a lot of times people be critical, they be like raising struggles with me to point out individuals who misrepresent his legacy, our name. But I try to be as objective as I can, because really, I'll be swinging back and I try not to engage in this personally and keep it political. You know what I'm saying?
And the deal is,
it's not to cop no pleas to be liberal with these individuals, but the deal is to really expose who is behind them, whether they know it or not, you know what I'm saying? Because not, you know, and so read it. So when I talked to you, I was going in because it's strategic. They had this bogus book. They're told that the Rainbow Coalition. First, this guy was trying to write a book about. I didn't cut no corners. This Jacoby Williams. This individual had a book that first was when you were by the street organization. And they got shut down. Then the public, I was the chairman, and they got shut down. So, and this was one of them books, the revisions of history, that I had to deal with. We had to do damage control on the movie set from. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not, and like even people, this kind of, I guess, in the lines of Tulsa. People saying, there are people using your father's name, different groups, your organization, your father's organization name. And the deal is, the people's political muscle has to be strengthened to the point that we're able to tell, to recognize lies from Memorex. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because a part of the counterinsurgency, the part of the COINTELPRO, a part of the attack on our movement is not just that of the military aspect, not just the bullets and the, you know what I'm saying, and burials, not to negate the detrimental impact that has, but also the co-opting
right.
of our legacy in the organization. And the deal is, the deal is, people say, well, point out this and this point. The deal is, the state is, while we organize, while we got a program out here right now as we speak, the Black Panther Party Club, Triple C, Children's Community Club, feeding the people, you know, as literally right now, while we're telling people to organize on save and maintain the Hampton House, the state, the system is continuously, you know what I'm saying, producing clones, you know what I'm saying, as Malcolm said about the March on Washington, this one, they can't stop right. the co-op, hijack it, make it so they can be. So these are continuous, you know what I'm saying, and Sam and Fred say, we know they get our pictures, we know they want all this in jail, we spend more time worried about that, we spend less time working for the people. Our job is to organize, and also, the deal is, you heighten the contradiction. I mean, I was on a movie set, the Judas and Black Messiah, they said, you keep saying that word. They asked, yeah, that's a man. Because I just get this, let's be so being dictators. We have to heighten the contradictions. So to see who aligns with what, who attracts to what, who validates what. See, William O'Neill did not operate in a vacuum. You know what I'm saying? I did an interview recently about Donald Trump. And he's like he's just this bad villain. Trump didn't operate in no vacuum. You know what I'm saying? The deal is you have to heighten the contradictions, you know what I'm saying, and see what goes what so we can be clear. A lot of us don't want to do that because we want to have this simplistic approach that is just black and white. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you can lie with who all had the same last name. When the contradictions are heightened, stuff is going to come out that a lot of us ain't prepared to deal with, you know what I'm saying? And that's how we operate. That's how we operate, you know what I'm saying? Because there'll be times, you know what I'm saying, like people should know me to pick up where I'm at, because the deal is, we struggle a structure. When there have been times when the state in its various tentacles, you know what I'm saying, have tried to lie and say that the Cubs did this, the party did, the people say, no, we recognize, you know, so we know this ain't the party work. You know what I'm saying? And that's the deal. That's how people, you know what I'm saying, consciousness has to be heightened to the point to be able to distinguish that, you know?
Wow. Right. I can't hear you, Chairman.
I'm still here. So I was a little, I took a breather because, like I said, so I'm giving a case example. This is a mm-hmm. video movie that was entitled Black Panther Leader Slain, Missing Chapter. They edited everything they had talked to us about, you know, so with me. They inserted this dude who they constantly why do you keep raising certain individuals up in the music industry, in the movie industry, in our movie,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it is to say, to heighten the contradictions, because one thing about the state, once you start heightening the contradictions, they are, you know what I'm saying, if you've seen with the case of Derek Chauvin, once you start hitting the contradictions about the whole dynamic about, no, this ain't Derek Chauvin, they're dropping. Like, you know what I'm saying? They get up there, they get on the stand, say, man, we don't know why he's doing this. This is the chief of police. And because one thing, the deal is to say, no, to draw the connection, the correlation, you know what I'm saying, the whole team. Like I said, Derek Chauvin, I ain't no defense of him, but his defense should have been, but if this was an aberration, what he was doing, if it was against the modus operandi, why the other pigs were looking at him? School gets more than it's cool. Yeah, that's good. We want to do interview. Work still happening. So he should say, why the other pigs think, you know, they didn't look at him like he was doing something out of order. So the state does not want these, you know what I'm saying, these correlations. And, like, you know what I'm saying? And this is something we have to heighten to draw. This, like in the court system, the connection with the public defender, the state's attorney, all of them, the media, all that. You may look at, you know what I'm saying, the case of former Lieutenant John Byrd, South out of Chicago. When it was the same, but the torture he was doing, they were saying things, oh, man, okay, he's like a bad apple. No. Mayor Daley was the state's attorney. Chief of Police Leroy Martin, he was the chief of a black negro, and he was the chief of police. John Byrd was on his climax towards it. You follow what I'm saying? And then you go back and look at the report that the media was doing. You go back and look at the so all this was, was working in concert. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
And you look at this dude. This is not subjective about this. This case about this this Vox video. The backing, the media who backed them, who played them. This, you know what I'm saying? And this is bold tonight. Listen, you know what I'm saying? Like I gave it now to the court and the state attorney, public defender, and we moved it to our community. You know what I'm saying? They bring up, you're like, why this person get media attention? Why is this? This needs to be another. A lot of times people come in, like you trying to figure out, man, maybe I ain't working hard enough or what. No. Game, you know what I'm saying? The layout has been laid out, you know what I'm saying? And get you involved in a fraud fight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you spin your wheel, you know what I'm saying? So we had a deal is, and if you just get caught individually, subjectively, this person, you know what I'm saying? You swing it out. As opposed to, no, let's heighten the contradictions so it can come up. You know what I'm saying? Who's the criminals, but also who is complicit with this.
Right.
You get to learn yourself. You know what I'm saying? What do you attract to? You know what I'm saying? And the deal is, we as revolutionaries, Deputy Minister of Health Doc Satchel has said, Black Panther Party. He reiterated what Chairman Mao Zedong has said, though. But our backs are to be ridden like oxen down the path of socialist revolution. We are in the contradictions of the people saying, and the Vanguard Party. So we have the people. Some things people just said, the people ain't ready for. You know, it's sad to say. And deal with the will of the people. We organizing. We don't relate to this abstract, you know, just black and white. You know what I'm saying? It's like gardening. You know, so you have to take into account. I tell you, you have to look at the climate. It's sometimes the weather. How people relate to the system around income tax time, PPP loans. You have people loving the government around these times. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be, you have to take all these different dynamics into context. When you have a race or a class, and with a class arrogance, you come out with, well, I'm black, they black, this is how we are. No. You see what dynamics, what it is. So contradictions are necessary.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Wow. So, now one thing that you said, and it kind of matches with what happened in Tulsa from what I'm hearing, and that is, again, the co-opting of, you know, certain kinds of programming or certain kinds of things, objectives or what have you, that ended up really getting all, if not twisted, even you know, dismissed or just pushed to the side or what have you. And then this whole other kind of representation came into play, right? I was listening earlier today, Chairman Fred. It's funny because Roland Martin, I think his name, he has this media presence now online since he's no longer with radio or TV1. So now he's pretty popular on this kind of social media piece. So he was interviewing, what was his name, Jamal, it'll come to me in a minute, but he's this well-known preacher, young dude. And when I heard him say that he felt that the survivors should have reparations, I was like, wow, just look at how, you know, other people have even began to kind of, you know, influence, or shall I say, make it seem that they're really so in tune, you know, to stuff that we've been saying for decades. And now they're kind of popularizing it.
Well, I'm real careful about a lot of times, and I think we get credit to the deal is to these individuals, the state knows how they keep their ear to the ground. They know the potential of the people. They would, and so many, so the best analogy I can give is like the March on Washington, initial March on Washington. Mm-hmm. Malcolm talked about the book too. Malcolm gave the summation that the people were talking about shutting it down. DC ain't nothing gonna move out of DC, period.
Right.
It's important to note that the ruling class, the Kennedys and the likes, they called for the book room. You know what I'm saying? So it's important. So that's how we say like we flatter these interviews like it's some call that they make. Listen, we have an event every December 4th, International Revolutionary Day. About 25 years ago. Every December 4th, the white motorcycle gangs would give a permit to drive down the same block we had. Next year they would try. These players didn't know the different details of it. This ironically influenced where I'm sitting at right now. This table. I'm at the Hampton House right now.
Right.
At this same very table, I asked a family member. I said, have you ever thrown an event before, December 4th? He said, no. I said, what made you decide to do it at 12 o'clock? He said, he don't know. He had got the permit, the funding, the backing to do it at the same time that we do our the deal is we must hide these contradictions. It's a case, I forgot this guy's name. He was in Miami jail. He was in jail in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They was interviewing him for 60 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was locked up. They was still using him. They was going through his file, his jacket, and they were showing how long he had been working in the interest of the CIA. He didn't even know it. They showed him one time. They showed him the lady that approached him one time. The lady said, you speak better than Aristide. Why are you not the spokesperson? Stroke his ego. Then they showed him another date when there was internal conflict between the CIA and Bill Clinton. The ship had pulled up to Haiti. All of a sudden, this dude had a bullhorn, megaphone, and a crowd. And he was telling the boat, go, leave, go back, leave, Yankees. And he felt, but all the time, the CIA, they had backed him because they wanted to make Clinton look bad at that time. And this dude thought it was something he had done on his own. they go through our communities. Sections or groups, different forces that we bring out. You know, we read about structure. So one of our coalition forces was talking one time. He said, man, he asked the other guy. He said, man, do it dawn on you every time we do a protest, the same type of a different lady, same, pull up on you in the Lexus and say she like you. This system has psychological profiles. They know which individual to place over the media for us. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to give credit to these. This case about this thing, this Vox video. They grabbed this. This dude ain't no articulate case. This only about the black fans. See, this system, if they put a chimpanzee on a magazine for a week straight, they can run it for office. You know what I'm saying? Or beauty queen. You know what I'm saying? Because power, you know what I'm saying? Power has the ability to influence. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so they can grab individuals, and this is what they do. And they grab individuals, is a term we use, Empress. They grab for our leadership and our movements in different dynamics in the music industry. And most of the cases is what we refer to in the Black Panther Party Cubs is die in a bag. What I mean by die in a bag is can't go to the bank, everybody on the floor, run the bag. They give them the bag quick because they know that money is not going to be unspendable. The die is going to burst in the bag. You know what I'm saying? They give you these leaders. They give you not these individuals that try on their own to continue. They give them to you.
Right.
And you know, it's a timeline. They can have no contested conditions.
Wow. Whew. Yep. I mean, that's pretty much on point. No doubt about
it. The people's political muscle has to be intensified. You know what I'm saying? To be able to recognize and identify this. They must understand what the Black Panther Party is. They must understand who Chairman Fred is. Now, I ain't talking about they got to be able to word and speech and this, but they may have to distinguish and say, wait a minute, this ain't that. In our situation, we must be able to have critical analysis to say, wait a minute, this don't jive with this. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Wow. All right. So listen, family, what we're going to do is open up the phone lines for you all. If you have a comment, a thought, or something else you want to share with us, we're going to open up the line. We are, of course, talking with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. If you haven't seen the film yet, we strongly suggest that you do, because there's a lot of very, very key things in Judas and the Black Messiah. And, you know, we haven't talked to Chairman in a couple of months since the release. So I know a lot has happened since then, needless to say. But the other thing I want to mention, of course, is it's good to examine the past, because we oftentimes see the manifestation of those things right before our eyes, and one of the reasons why a sister came on, was on earlier, Chairman Fred, Sister Rahima, and you know, and also Brother Ray was talking about how, you know, leadership in our communities all over the country for the most part is just like, you know, absent, missing in action. And so, you know, what you just outlined or just said, you know, just kind of helped to put it into another perspective, and that is, you know, this is all done intentionally. But the thing is, and this is what I keep saying to folks, what are we going to do? What are we talking about doing to either eliminate that or lessen it or expose it more, or what apparatuses are we going to put in place or utilize in those regards? You see, because we already know this is what's happening. The people here in Philly, and I had this conversation with someone the other day, you know, because I came up in the struggle as a college student, and, you know, we was told, you know, yeah, the young folks, the youth and all of that, and they had us out in the street working and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And these same people now are retired from working for the city or the state. And I see the same pattern over and over. And so my point is, a lot of time the young folks are used to further the aspirations or the agendas of other people.
You know, that is, deal is that there are different interests. We can't draw a foregone conclusion. Everybody have, you know what I'm saying, have the same interest. You know what I'm saying? And we have to, as Chairman Fred said, revolution is a scientific art that must be perfected. And there's no way you can force principle. You can pour principle into people. You can, we can set some conditions to make, you know, make cats act right, or as we say, fake to funk, like they. But be clear that, you know, there's a, I was riding up a couple of days ago. It was to some parks in Chicago. I had never seen it. It was like South Suburb of Chicago. And we rode through, we got lost. I said, damn. I thought about Richard Pryor's kid. I said, Richard Pryor's kid. White people be like, man, I don't believe it. Like, the police is killing people like that. And I can see them. I mean, it was a different world. And I was like, damn. I mean, it messed me up. It was like a whole, this is like, man, I ain't never, man. It's a different world. And so we come from different conditions and lack of, you know, saying different experiences, yeah. Lack of experiences, you know. And this is also within the Black community. We must acknowledge that, you know what I'm saying? And it actually, it transcends just that about how old we are. And, you know, and a lot of times, people say people sold out. I say sell out is one of the most overused terms in our community.
Right, right.
Certain conditions may have to hit it for it to bring out. It may be dormant there, you know what I'm saying? You say you have a high school reunion or something, you be talking to people, say, I knew all the time this dude would be on it. The one guy, he a rapper, right? Little guy Debo, he got this song out. And he said, when I was in grammar school, I told you, the guys, his rap there, he said, he wanted to be a vice lord. It's like a major street organization. And, you know, he said, he wanted to be a vice lord chief. He knew the other boy wanted to be a police chief in grammar school. There are certain things that, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, you can see in different dynamics, you know, in a consistent strains. We have to acknowledge that, you know what I'm saying? And there are no perfect allies that, you know, so we don't have the options to go and pick out who, you know what I'm saying, who can be on a battlefield with us. But what we can do, what we must do, is assess this scientifically. And this is not, people incorrectly romanticize other communities, you know what I'm saying? You hear reactionary rhetoric, like white people stick together, you know what I'm saying? That's all that nonsense, you know what I'm saying? These people get down with each other. That's why I like that movie, Games of Thrones. It show you, you know what I'm saying? Even though it's
right,
not a picture, but I like it because it show you, man, they battle, you know what I'm saying? It gets down and dirty.
That's right.
But the deal is, they're, you know, common interests and look at, you know what I'm saying? And really things are set. It's a machine. Things are laid out. A lot of organizations, people have that also.
Right.
Things are laid out for them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They are uncontested.
Right.
And you think that they are moving smoothly. You know what I'm saying? They are no contested condition. You know what I'm saying? And so
That's
what you're saying. You're on the plantation. You out there. You're like, man, every time such come out of master house, They look energized, you know what I'm saying? You gotta figure out why you all tired. You beating yourself up. You say it's a different world from up inside the house out there in the cotton field. You know?
Yeah.
And that has to be put in context. You know?
Right.
So we can move, you know, and that ain't copping no pleas or justifying our story, but the deal is everything from, you know, our diet to, you know, how we deal with each other. It's a different dynamic in a organized community. Even, you know, it's organized. I've been talking to some of these people called, well, I give you, but Keith Stanfield, the one who portrayed William O'Neill in the movie Judas the Black Messiah, he said he wasn't familiar with nobody like Cameron Fred. He thought an activist was somebody who did social media. That's it, you know what I'm saying? Look at the frame of reference. Who do you got to choose from?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, you know, you talk about these children. They'll tell you they got 4,000 friends. They don't know these people from Canada Pay.
Right, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, what we do is, you say, how do we deal with it? We must heighten the contradiction to come on with the heat. So we can see, people talk about Tulsa. One guy, is he funny himself up. He said, man, I really didn't know who you was. He said, I'm clear now. He said, man, I feel kind of stupid. I said, you should. He said, Chairman, I know you. I know you. I should distinguish. You have to be, not, you know what I'm saying? You have to have contradictions to see. Not just be able to distinguish. Like, you say, I come up in the climate. I come up in the city. A structure.
Man.
A catch. They ain't have on no particular colors. You can talk to 2 seconds and say, okay, this is who that is. It's people in the community who demoralized. They say some cats going against a bag of drugs that don't make it out. They have to pick us and, no, man, that's not the legitimate drug. That's not the legitimate dope. They call it dummy bag. You know what I'm saying? They say, man, we not gonna play games with our money. You know what I'm saying? It's you pull up at a gas station. You know what I'm saying? And you see people, everybody car smoking. You know, you say, hold on, man, there's something wrong with this gas. Everybody gotta come out and tell you that. Now we're talking about movements.
Right.
Talking about organizations. They have a clear distinction. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And say, man, hold on. This is what this is. Then we got people that are alive and well. that you can find. You ain't got to go. The dude told me, he said, I said, how did you, told the lady this box? I say, how did you put this guy on here? Well, he wrote a book about the Rainbow Coalition. How did the Panther Cubs, everybody get edited out? Well, we couldn't. I said, stop the nonsense. Yeah, I'm so monotone. So you had an agenda, a narrative. The script was written already. You know what I'm saying? And you got to heighten the contradictions. You know, they're trying to tell you, well, we can't find it. We don't. They know what they're doing. Then we go for it. See, deal is, one of the strengths and one of the Achilles' heels with imperialism is turning the lights on. That's all. That's all. You know what I mean, before we talk about all this rah-rah, getting down, listen, this is this. You know what I'm saying? This is the definition of a Chevrolet. This is the definition of a Crip. This is the definition of blood. This is the definition of Black Panther Party. This is Chapter 3. That's it, point blank. Now, heightened contradiction. We can't look. Now, what you allowing to go with? Whatever reason, say, listen, man, this grandmama's dinner. She made this here, man. This macaroni and cheese and all that. Now you keep on going. Then you call me. You at McDonald's telling me that you eat grandmama's cheese, macaroni and cheese. Now you might say, well, I ain't have enough money. I ain't feel like coming away to grandmama's house. I don't like to be over there. Okay, but you're not going to run and tell us this grandmama's macaroni and cheese.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't. We clear on that. Whatever your agenda, you know what I'm saying? You go up there to a basketball game, and a guy out there scalping some tickets, you say, I got these tickets to the front row seats for $2. You know what I'm saying? You come on in. You are with somebody, you sit in front of a plug of TV outside, a radio on the car, you don't pay for tickets. You call somebody else, I'm at the NBA on front corner. You know what I'm saying? I'm with the Black Panther Party. I'm with the Fred Hampton. Man, come on.
Oh gosh. All right, Tammy, stay right there. We're gonna go to a couple of callers. Woo! And again, these are the things, family, that has to be pointed out, because as we all now can pretty much clearly see, we know who's been put in the forefront for certain kinds of what might appear to be representation. Oh, and by the way, Chairman, I'm going to open up the lines for a minute, but we see that there's been a new resignation from one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter. She has resigned, supposedly not under the pressure of the scrutiny that has come into existence, but because, you know, she's prepared to move forward and do some other things. I think we kind of heard that before, but hold that point, though, Chairman Fred, right there. I'm going to go back to Brother Chris. Brother Chris, coming back to you, and let's see if you have a comment or a question or a thought. Brother Chris? Okay. Let's go back. Okay, let's check in with Brother Ray Ray. He's still in queue. Brother Ray Ray, I know you got something to say. Brother Ray Ray? Okay, we can't seem to get these connections tonight. Okay, there you go.
Okay, how you doing? Brother Fred Jr. Yeah, can you hear me, Sister Filet?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I don't know. You know her. They probably at work. They probably at work listening. they got to keep an eye on and see what's going on when the great offspring of Fred Hampton is doing his thing and speaking the truth. I miss you on 125th Street. We had went out to honor Malcolm at the gravesite. It was pretty good. Not a lot of people due to the agreement with the people in the cemetery. And by the time we got back, we miss you out there on 125th Street. So, like you said, you know, the bottom line is these people were so asking you that we just have to keep calling them out, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sister Filet says, what are we doing? What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
You make a big decision, Fred. The decision you made, you didn't have to make.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X turned down $500,000, which was an astronomical amount of money in that time. And you were right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you are one, I don't care what they say, you are 100% right, that the March on Washington was a circus. And he said it.
Mm-hmm.
With clowns and all. And it's in the book, 100 Days by, got the guy's name, Arthur Schlesinger. So I want to thank you for still fighting with the problems in Chicago. I want to ask you, I figure out how did they vote that Deadfoot in office? How did she become mayor? How did it happen, Fred? How did the great people of Chicago put that in office? What happened?
I think two points I want to make. I think one, I think the narrative should be not what should we do. We should always acknowledge that there's movements still happening. You know, what I'm saying? We should, who can we connect with that's doing this, or because resistance mm-hmm. is happening. That's always been included in narrative. Two, I think we should be consistent. With, in regards to whether we're talking about the music industry, electoral politics, or what have you, that they switch lanes and say, like, you know what I'm saying, that like I said earlier about, you know, the people, the pawns that are used to hijack our move, it's a machine that, you know what I'm saying, Malcolm X said that America's democracy is an hypocrisy. It's a facade of freedom.
Right.
And so you talk Chicago, it's openly admitted that Al Capone still votes if it goes on the voting poll. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's one thing about Chicago, there's a brutal honesty. You know what I'm saying? Like Mike Royko wrote a book called The Boss.
Yeah, I read that book, Daily, The Daily Boys.
And it talks about the precinct kept the frauds, and it goes down, and you know, and it's so we can just say the people, that's the deal with the heightened contradiction the again to the fact that you know what I'm saying, one of the things that attracted a lot of cats was that Donald Trump done that. Trump would say certain reactions to them. He said the system is rigged. Remember he said that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He would say it was so, you know, and the deal is, even though it's reactionary when he kind of came out and said it, the deal is acknowledged. You know what I'm saying? This America's so Machiavellian. So he's talking about the electoral politics, you know, and America's definition of diplomacy.
Are the Irish with the Daily Machine still have the majority of control over the black wards, the ward bosses?
The neo-colonialism in Chicago and Cook County. Now you have additional dynamics like the cartels present. Why do you think the movie El Chapo was not allowed to be played in Chicago? Go look at the case that Mayor Daley had with Al Sanchez over the Hispanic Democratic Organization. It may change different players, you know what I'm saying? But the deal is, Chicago, technically speaking, had a setup where they had a strong automatic power and weak mayoral. In other words, technically speaking, they can outvote or outcall a mayor's call. But the machine, you have to look at the history of the Democratic machine. This is where the first Congress, Negro congressman, I think Dawson, that was his name, Dawson.
Dawson. Mm-hmm.
Dawson. The Charles Dawson that came, you know what I'm saying? And it was put out there. And at the expense of what was going down with the Negroes and the precinct captains, you know, it was still like giving chickens, to people, like raw chickens to vote for certain, you know what I'm saying, certain people. Mm-hmm. I came up. It was known. They would say, you go vote, that you would vote just for the judge, whoever had the Irish name. See, politics, this system, like that movie Django.
Politics?
that movie Django, it was something I was commenting about. They talk about like even that, like the skull, like, you know, it's a macro, the breaking process to be able to go on for generations, you know what I'm saying? So it's not just even about that of, like, you know, when I say somebody cares a particular line, they have certain, once they implement it, people can carry, hold, you know what I'm saying, carry the political line that works in their agenda. This system, they say, okay, what you want? You want Trump? You want Hillary Clinton? You want Obama? How do you, what you want? You want to boil the bacon or fry? You going to eat this? How you going to do this? You know what I'm saying? And the deal is, as long as the agenda get put forward. You follow what I'm saying? And,
right.
and the deal is the agenda. It may go a different route. You know what I'm saying? The agenda is at the expense. It was a system that was born of the backs and blood into the black people in particular. Of the continent. You know what I'm saying? Black people in particular. It's so Machiavellian. You know what I'm saying? I put certain people in place. How I place continents, give certain groups, special interest groups, different concessions at the expense of you mess over this group. And so it's the politics of Chicago. This is the first place they had a televised Democratic convention when they had Kennedy. Kennedy's ascendancy, the presidency, is largely attributed to Mayor Daley.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he worked the Negroes. You know what I'm saying? Daley Sr. had such a tool. He had Negro preachers had denounced Dr. King. You remember that? You know about that, right?
Right.
Daley had them denounce King, you know? And it's extremely Machiavellian, you know what I'm saying? And even now, the role of, like, the timing, how they play, you know, like I told you, you go through the cartel's role. A lot of people hear about the crime in Chicago. They still attribute it to just, you know, black people, black teenagers with dreadlocks in their hair.
You think that the blacks is doing all everything.
Man, it's, you know what I'm saying? And what they're saying is wrong.
The biggest question.
Go ahead, bro.
How much influence does do the Obama still carry the majority of influence in Chicago?
You say influence. Okay, let me be clear what you're talking about, influence.
Control over voting. If he comes out and says and show his face, do they go hog wild? And his endorsements, even with Rahm Emanuel being his friend and the Emanuel family, does he still carry a lot of influence, in your opinion?
Well, let me say, okay, you know, in Chicago, with the automatic and the racist DC, you had to make your bones. Obama had never, like, as I mentioned the term earlier, contested conditions. When they had placed him for senator, he never had ran. It get down and dirty with the elections. In fact, that's why I like to be out of Chicago, right? Because it brings up the nasty side in a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Obama was never involved in them at all. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember when he ran for Senate one time, he had ran against Alan Keyes. And Keyes ran on the Republican ticket, and Keyes had actually pushed me out. You know, and people asked him because Puffy them, Puffy called them. We shut that vote of that garbage down. They didn't cross Illinois state lines that garbage up. So we ain't going for none of that garbage. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Keyes, people said, who y'all vote for? We said, no, what's their position? on reparations, political prisoners, and African anti-terrorism bills. That was opposition. He's that actually came down to Gabrini Green Housing Project, you know what I'm saying, down there. Obama, it was the gig was, it was set, so he didn't even have to do that. You know what I'm saying? It was, that's what I was saying earlier. Like I say, they give us the impression that if you go through the process, you know what I'm saying, sometimes we go in there, we can flip the script.
Right.
But the only thing you can do is the power of the people. In most cases, they give you the impression. So it really was not, so back to the guts of your question, it was never no influence. It's a facade. It's like I said, you ask the average child will tell you, I got 4,000 friends on Facebook. It's okay, call them.
Right. Right.
Call them right now. Let's go right now. Let's go. Let's get together right now. You know what I'm saying? And you was, so now it's under uncontested conditions of them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And it's
okay.
Just like Chairman Mao Zedong said, U.S. imperialism is a paper tiger. So the deal is we must heighten the contradiction. For the
right.
Like we
okay.
Welcome. So see, I tell people, I'm Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. Not simply because I'm Chairman Fred's son or I look like him or talk like him. I'm held accountable. You know what I'm saying? Some place you just can go and throw some names up. And like some cats call me, man, these guys, you don't follow the name. Have you contested, whatever contested conditions they under?
Okay. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bring the heat. That's what imperialism does under unconceived. We say bring the heat. And you'll be, and that cuts off a lot of the fat from you. So we started to say, hold on, let me be careful with that term about Black Panther Party. Let me be careful with that term about influence or control. You know what I'm saying? Because under you can get a lot of influence. You're like, you said, man, who are with us? You know what I'm saying? It's a million cats. We, you know what I'm saying? Everybody named Mama today, little Tim Frick. When he campaigned to save his childhood home, that's MIA. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Right.
You know what? See, we say content. So a lot of times you think, so I'm real big about that. To say, hold on, let's not throw these words out. Let's say, hold on, what you mean control? What you mean influence? What you mean just can't, in a relationship? Oh man, you sounds good. We together, but you just, so hold on, man. You know we got to do. Are they gonna take the house? Huh? Hello, where you at?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Contested, because everybody, you know what I'm saying? You go, you throw an event, the media right, you get there, the media right there for you, everything's saved and set, you get your roll of mind, check the, let me tell you something, years back, it's not 2004. I'm going to say this, I got to make a run to it. We organized that had a street that Chairman Fred, defense of Lamar Clark, was assassinated on name in his honor.
Right.
The war that it was in, the alderwoman, she was saying, why you just want one block? I got street signs named for Frankie Knuckles, all these different musicians. She didn't know who Chairman Fred was. I said, okay, I just want one block. When she took it and it went through the process, when it got to, now mind you, everybody named Mama got street signs named after Chicago. What's her name? Playboy. Hugh Hefner. All the preachers. So it's no big thing. Now, then you're talking about Chairman Fred now. So it was going through the process. It got to the thing about the Transportation Committee. You've seen the alderman, Google it. Alderman Bill, he denied he heard of Fred because one alderman said, wait a minute. Y'all support the street side? And then the Fraternal Order Police say, you talking about the Black Panther? Then alderman's got to say, we thought it was a football player. We didn't mean, now, you know what I'm saying? They got to, we didn't mean that. We didn't say nothing. So now it's up to be voted for a vote in city council. Man, the city council, they had to change the rules. They got shut down. People don't, the woman, she had a job, she lost her job. Like your father, it brought so much heat down, contested conditions. And if, you know what I'm saying, people got to be done, who, you know, when they found family members who we didn't know to go against her. Matter of fact, we was going to do a press conference that morning, right?
This is ironic.
We was going to do a press conference about it, City Hall. Pam Africa, Minister of Conversation Move, Pam Africa, she's in Chicago for this. She calls. She said, she getting ready because, you know, she said, what's going on, Jam? She said, we even, I thought we doing a press conference downtown. We're doing a press conference at a place called Wallace's. Right. I'm listening to BON Radio, Roland Martin. They announced a contending press conference to go against the one that we had set for the Street Slam for Chairman Free and Happy. We get down there. It's a whole group to say, man, we done got petition signed. They had a whole setup, press conference and everything. I'm telling you.
And Roland Martin is definitely a member of the team.
I'm not, but the point, like I said, and the deal is the heightened contradiction, the system for, if it don't broke, don't fix it. They were, a lot of times you be like, damn, this on my case, for the case they gave me, right? One of the cases. They had trained me up. So they pulled all the agencies, got me locked up in the car. They take me to the police station. So they, I said, man, who is, ain't you afraid? I said, who are y'all? So they get introduced to themselves. One of them keep walking past looking at me real strange. I couldn't put together who he was. But I said, why is he calling the shots for all these other agencies? Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, I'm out on bond in Oakland, California. I'm going through old Black Panther Party newspapers. I flip through it, bam. Joseph P. Grubezek, Legion of Justice with Mayor Daley Sr., who was involved in the surveillance and subsequent assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton. Bam, go back to my case. Sergeant Joseph P. Grubezek, same one, not his son, same one, who got to me on my case. When I bring this up, then I'm locked up. When I bring this up on appeal, March of 1998, they locked me down, got me isolation. They did not appeal to say I didn't come to court today. I'm like, okay, I couldn't. I'm locked up. I'm in prison. Then I get back out of isolation, go to the obituary section in the Chicago Sun-Times. Who coincidentally just died? Joseph P. Gruber said.
Wow.
I got to make a move. Y'all, they on my heels right now.
We got to close out. Yeah, we got to close out as well. Jimmy okay. Fred, always, always wonderful to have you with us. Woo, that was powerful. All right, family. All right, we got Brother Ray Ray with us. Of course, Chairman Fred and family, we're going to close this session out. Woo, it was definitely, what can I say? Y'all heard it, and I know you felt it, so. We're going to take all what we just heard and put it into some other kind of motion now and get this thing moving the way it needs to be moving for this day and age. Anyway, family, we're going to close the session out. I want to remind you again, Brother Ray Ray, of course, let folks know how they can. Now, you mentioned that they took it off of Zoom, off of YouTube and so forth. Remember,
I'm glad you said that. I'm trying to email them. I already logged on. I even put it, family. I even put the on Facebook that we have our own site. The only problem I'm having is trying to download the video. See, when you download, and I'm gonna say this right quick, on with a MacBook with iMovies. I put the SD card in, I download the lecture, and then from iMovie, I send it right to Facebook. YouTube. They have to show me how to do it.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out how to do it, and I can't get in touch.
I'm going to talk with the brother. I'm going to talk with him tomorrow, and I'll definitely we'll take care of that. Okay. But that's going to be forget Facebook and them people. We got our own. Let's support it. Let's
yeah,
we're
because
figure
I put
out
it
how
on
we need
Facebook,
to do it.
And I want to put it on our. I want to transfer most of the stuff to our Black Truth, trying to find out how to do it.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely, I'll talk with them tomorrow, and we will take care of that. All right, family, we're going to close out. Again, we got Chairman Fred. That was Brother Ray Ray you just heard. Chairman, we're going to give you the last words after me, of course. But we're going to give you your closing comments. We know you got to go.
We represent love, respect, and appreciation. Let's stay diligent. Let's keep the cases of Mumia Abu Jamal, Sunday out of Cody, see my sisters and brothers, our people in general on our minds and hearts, y'all. It's called Free Them All. Also, this upcoming Father's Day, be going to check on Chairman Fred's tombstone. It's going to be a big move we're doing this June 20th. And keep y'all abreast on that, y'all. What's it called? Free Them All.
All right. All right, family. Again, everybody, of course, tomorrow for Zoom. Oh, I forgot to put it in chat room. But you can email me at nationalmwm@aol.com, and I'll send you the link. And or the call-in number tomorrow is Cali House Day tomorrow. So at 3 o'clock, we're going to have a discussion. Prince Asiel, Ben Israel will be joining us. And, of course, Sister Deidre, former Perlman. She's the sister who did the initial research that exposed Aetna, Wachovia, and all of them in terms of their involvement in slavery. So that'll be tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. All right, family, we're going to close this session out. We're going to leave you, as we oftentimes greet you, in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. And remember, there will not be any peace until there's justice. Because y'all know what we say. If there's no justice, there's no what, Brother Ray Ray?
No peace.
No peace. All right,
well,
family.
Have them try to help me because I want to put all that stuff on there. I can't wait.
Okay, well, we'll take care of it tomorrow as soon as I connect with
them.
All right, family.
Okay.
Talk to you. We're out. Peace, everyone.
Thank you.